We are going to look at the story of Lazarus this morning. Actually, Joel was going to do this this morning, but he wasn't too well towards the end of the week. And by Friday night, we just made a quick decision that we just step in and do it instead and allow him a bit of space to recover. So you're stuck with us, I'm afraid. So we're going to look at the story of Lazarus, but this is part of just leading up to Easter. And this story is set in John chapter 11. And there's that from there on in John, it's like a process coming up to Jesus going into Jerusalem and being crucified. And one of the questions is why this particular story is where it is, because it could have been put somewhere else, could it? Or maybe not. Why has God put it there? And that's something we want to draw out of that this morning.
Great. So as like Kevin already says, this story is in John chapter 11, but there's like 50-odd verses. So I would encourage you, go home, read it, have a look at it. We're not going to read 50-odd verses this morning because I bet you all want your dinner and you're missing that extra hour of sleep that you had. So we'll try and keep you awake. So what we're going to do is we are going to pick out key bits. But if you are not aware of the story, basically, this is Jesus, and Jesus has got three friends who he's really close to, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and they're all siblings. And Jesus is away with his disciples, teaching, preaching, doing miracles, and then he hears that Lazarus is very ill. And actually, he does something really interesting. He doesn't rush straight there. He waits a couple of days and then goes back to Bethany where they are. But by the time Jesus arrives, Lazarus is already dead. And everyone's crying, really distressed, upset. And they're going, Jesus, why didn't you come? If you were here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus does something miraculous. He goes to the tomb and he says, Lazarus, come out. And this man who's been dead and been dead 4 days by this point comes back to life, which is just absolutely incredible. So what we're going to do is we're going to look for each character, for Lazarus, for Martha, for Mary, for Jesus, what actually happened for them that day. So we're just going to go through one of them at a time.
All right. So if you've got your Bible somewhere written on something or appearing on a screen, if you can find John chapter 11, I'm just going to read from verse 38 to 44. So instantaneously click on it, tap again. You're on, sorry, Kate. How rude. All right, off we go. This is John chapter 11, verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, who is the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! That woke you up, didn't it? And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go.
Amazing. So what happened for Lazarus that day? Is anyone listening? Did you not hear, Kevin? So Lazarus probably had the most amazing experience, didn't he? He came back to life. And actually, we can get over familiar with Bible stories, especially if, like me, you've grown up in church. You've heard these stories time and time again. I mean, if someone came back to life today, it would be all over the news, wouldn't it? Absolute miracle, absolutely incredible. And actually, we don't want to get over familiar with what Jesus is doing here and what he's doing now as well. And so Lazarus came back to life. Wow, amazing. And actually, Jesus brings us back to life, doesn't he? And actually, there's a bit inside of all us that once was dead. And Jesus speaks our name and calls us out and calls us back into life. And actually, if you're here this morning and you've never done that, you've never responded, and you feel dead inside, we want to speak to you at the end because we'd really love to tell you about how you can meet this Jesus. But actually, as well, even when we do know Jesus, there can be parts of us inside that are dead. And Jesus wants to speak to us all this morning and bring dead things back to life. And I think the main thing for Lazarus is, can you imagine, like, everybody knew he was dead. You know, he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And can you imagine the next day when he's just out and about walking down the street and everyone's wanting to, like, touch him and hug him and, like, yeah, it would be absolutely incredible. And I can imagine he had such an amazing sense of purpose and such an amazing sense of God's love after this has happened. You know, you'd just be living each day in awe, wouldn't you? Like, wow, I was dead and I came back to life. And I think after something like that happens to you, you just would never be cut out for a normal life again, would you? Definitely not.
Okay. That's my cue.
I'm looking at you.
So what I want to do, just for a minute, contrast what happened to Lazarus and Jesus' resurrection as well. Because for Lazarus, it was just temporary. He got some extra years. And no doubt he made the most of them, because you would, wouldn't you? Having been gone through all that sickness and you die and then, hey, presto, what's happening next? You're walking out of a tomb and somebody's got to unwrap you, you know, and you would have a greater value for the rest of your life. But it was temporary, and he died eventually, okay? So the contrast between Lazarus and Jesus. For Lazarus, his resurrection made no practical difference to anyone else. I mean, yes, for his family, it was nice, and his friends to see him and so on. But in terms of practical difference for the rest of the world, for the rest of time, it made no real difference. He died later on, and he's not widely remembered. Certainly not as widely remembered as Jesus. He's an interesting character, but he can't help you. He has no power to help you. The fact that he rose again from the dead and lived a few more years has no practical effect on your life. He can't change you. And then if you look at Jesus, because this whole thing is, there's a contrast, and what John is doing in the gospel is saying, here we have somebody who's dead and who's raised to life, and it doesn't do a great deal. And then we get to the end of John, we have somebody who's dead and is raised to life, and it makes all the difference in the world, all right? And that's why this story is here. It's a contrast. It's for there to see. What we need is more than just to be raised back to life. We need something else. We need what Jesus can do and what he gives us. So Jesus died and he rose again. And in doing that, he defeated the power of death. And in Romans 10:10, it says that if you believe that God raised him from the dead and openly declare that he is Lord, you will be saved. And that's all there is to salvation. That's all there is to eternal life. Believing that Jesus was raised from the dead and making him your Lord. It's as simple as that. And that changes everything. And he gives us new life. And that's a life that never ends. All right? It starts from that moment. The moment you ask Jesus to be your Lord, that's when your new life starts and it never ends. He gives you the power to say no to sin. And this is probably one of the greatest things. There's a list of greatest things, so it's not, you know, I can't enumerate that, but this is one of the major things. He gives us the power to say no to sin, all right? Because he defeated the power of sin. It has no power over us. We no longer are obliged to do what it says. We're no longer slaves to sin. Lazarus didn't do any of that for us, okay? He gives you his Holy Spirit to live in you. And he gives you the power to live like he lived. And he gives you the power to do what he did as well. And Lazarus did none of that. So this is the contrast. And in Colossians 3, it just says, he has given us new life. So therefore, we don't have to live in the way we used to live. And I was just interested, just as I finish this bit, the songs that Jenny had. Sorry. The one, My Wealth is in the Cross, all right? This is the contrast. What Lazarus Lazarus provides what Jesus provided. Lazarus provides an interesting story, something that focuses back to Jesus. Jesus provided us with wealth and freedom, all right? And the last song that we sang, I Am No Victim. Not just reviving, not simply restoring. So it's not just about reviving a dead Lazarus for a few more years. It's not about reviving a dead us or restoring us for a few more years. It's about something eternal that changes everything forever. Okay?
Isn't that amazing? So that was Lazarus. We looked at Lazarus and what happened for him that day. And so we're going to move on to Martha now. So if you're on your phone, you can just scroll back a bit or you can turn back over. So we're just going to read verse 21 to 27. And so Martha's just come out to meet Jesus. And it says this, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever believes and lives in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
So, for Martha, she went out to meet Jesus, interestingly, at the edge of the town. We'll talk about that again in a few minutes. And she was hurt and she was upset, and they'd obviously had a conversation because both of the ladies said, if you had come earlier, he wouldn't have died. So this had been going on around the house for a bit, you know. So she's got all this, you know, Jesus. I thought Jesus loved us. Why didn't he come when we asked him to come? He's done this for other people, why, you know. And some of us sometimes have this thing. I asked Jesus to do something and it didn't happen, or it hasn't happened yet. What's going on? Does he love me? Does he not? And if you're not sure, listen to what Jackie said this morning. He loves us. Not for what we've got, not for what we can carry, not for our gifts and skills, but for us, for who we are, you know. So anyway, Martha's turning all this stuff over. She goes out to meet Jesus, and actually she ends up in a bit of a theological discussion with him about the resurrection and the life and so on. And at that point, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. But it just struck me, actually, there's two other occasions at least where Jesus has theological discussions with people, but he wants to go on beyond that. And the first one's Nicodemus, and they have that meeting at night, and they have this discussion, and it all gets a bit intense and a bit theological. But what Jesus is after is saying to Nicodemus, you know, we could argue this for weeks, years. What you need to know is you need to be born again, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you will have understanding. Then your life will change. And the other one's the woman at the well. And she had this thing going with Jesus about where do we worship, how do we worship, blah, 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 you know. But he wanted to go beyond that to transform her life. And he did that actually by bringing her just a word of knowledge. I know stuff about you that nobody else knows because my Father in heaven has told me, revealed it, not out of a judgmentalism, but out of love and compassion. And as he did that, her heart was opened and she was changed and transformed. That was where Jesus was going, to transform her, because as he transformed her, she transformed the town, didn't she? She went back in and into the town and said, come and meet the man who's told me everything I ever did, all right? So Jesus always wants, for me, and this is, just hear this rightly, I think the entrance into life is through Jesus. Theology is something that illustrates or illuminates that once we've taken the entrance. It's not the gate in, it's just illuminates the room once we're in, okay? And for Jesus, he never wanted to get stuck in arguing points. He wanted to just bring life, and he was always looking to bring life.
Great. And actually, I think the main thing that happened for Martha that day is actually something went from being something she knew in her head to something she knew in her heart and had experienced for herself. And we've just finished our series on identity, haven't we? And a lot of that was things that we probably know in our heads, but actually we can't live it out, and it can't affect our daily lives till we really get it in here, until we've experienced it for ourselves. And that's what happened with Martha, wasn't it? So she was talking, and she's saying, I know he'll be resurrected in the last days, because that's what she'd been taught. But actually that day, she had an experience with Jesus, and she saw it, and she experienced it. And just like Lazarus was never the same after that day, I bet Martha and Mary and everybody else present wasn't the same after that, because actually they'd gone from just having some kind of vague concept and idea to actually going, I've seen this, I've experienced this. And, you know, that's what changes your world upside down. And, you know, we can all be a bit like that, can't we? We can all have, yeah, we know the answer's Jesus, yeah. And it's like the story of a little boy who goes to Sunday school every week, and he's starting to play up a little bit because he's getting a little bit bored. Not that that wouldn't happen upstairs, because they have great kids' work. And so the teacher's trying to engage them a little bit, so she's trying to make it fun, and she says, right, going to have a bit of a competition. First person to put the hand up with the answer, we'll get a prize. Neil, you didn't have any prizes. That's where you went wrong, you see. Yeah, sorry. And so she's all the kids are ready, and you know what kids are like when they're getting a little bit competitive. They're like itching to go, aren't they? So she says, I'm going to describe something. First person to put the hand up with the right answer gets the prize. So she says, right, the living trees. Some of them are brown, some of them are red. They're like nuts. And the little boy shoots his hand up really fast. And he goes, miss, I know. The answer's meant to be Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me. And anyone who's been in Sunday school or been in church a while, Kevin, stop laughing. Every single time we've gone through this, he's laughed, and it's not that funny, really. And, you know, we get to the point of actually we know in our head, we know the answer's Jesus, don't we? And actually, sometimes we really need to experience his love and his life in our hearts, and that changes our lives. When things go from just being a theory to being absolute reality, that changes something.
Yeah. Just before we leave Martha, verse 28, if I can find it. Something happened for her in the conversation with Jesus, and more was to happen when she sees what he can do and what he does and how much he loves her. And actually, there's just something very interesting at the very beginning of the passage, which I didn't mention. At the very beginning of the chapter, they talk, Martha and Mary, about Jesus loving them, and they use the word philia, which just means like a brotherly love. But the scripture says in the next verse, Jesus loved them, and it uses the word agape, which is a completely giving, complete love. And sometimes some of us think that Jesus might love us just like as a distant brother or somebody who knows us or knows of us, and actually his love for us is just complete and consuming. Okay? So just moving on from that. In verse 28, it says of Martha, after she had this conversation with Jesus, she went back and she called her sister Mary aside and said, the teacher's here. So she'd gone out confused and concerned and churned up and everything, and she come back calm and at peace because she's encountered Jesus and she knows she can trust him.
Amazing. So we've looked at what happened to Lazarus that day. We've looked at Martha. So we're just going to have a quick look at Mary. So if you're scrolling, we're on verse 32 now, and we're going to read verse 32 to 37. So Martha's been out, and so now, like Kevin said, Martha's gone and got Mary, and this is what happens now. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying. And just like how Martha came to Jesus with all her questions and all her issues, actually, Mary did as well, and she was really real with her emotions. You can almost hear the hurt and the pain and the frustration in her voice. You know, if you had only been here. She knew something in her head, and she was going, Jesus, I don't understand. And you can hear the emotion, can't you? And then there's the other people saying it as well. The crowd are saying, could he have not kept this man from dying? And actually, it's really important that we're really real with God, with how we're feeling, with our emotions, with what's really going on. Like, if you've ever read the Psalms, it's full of people saying, actually, life's really difficult. I'm feeling overwhelmed. This is difficult. And actually, it's them coming to Jesus in those times. And actually, we like to put on a front, don't we? And like, we like to be, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's good. And we can be very superficial in relationships, but actually we can put that into our relationship with God as well if we're not careful and we're not real and we're not honest. And, you know, it's really important that we're real with Jesus. That's how we process and do emotions well. And that's what Mary did. She ran to Jesus and not other people and places. And she was real with her feelings and her emotions.
So there's just a little question that comes up at the end. His ways are not our ways, we've got on the screen. Jesus left it until Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Even when he came to town, he hung around on the outside of town. He didn't kind of rush to their house or say, where's the tomb or whatever, where is he buried? Martha and Mary went out to find him. He was, don't know what he was doing, just sitting in the sun, having a little bit of a laugh with some of the people or whatever. I had no idea. But he's just totally relaxed. That's the point. Absolutely relaxed. He's not running around saying, where are they? Where's the place? Which way do I go? Whatever, whatever. And I think part of this, he was waiting until there was a bad smell. All right? He was waiting until they knew the body was decomposing. All right? There's no way he wanted to come after 2 days and raise Lazarus from the dead and have people say, he was just fell in a coma and he's come back again. You know, he's all right. He was waiting till they knew this guy was dead, properly dead, not coming back dead, starting to fall to bits dead, okay? And sometimes God's ways are not our ways. Well, often, probably all the time. His timing is not our timing, but he's never late, all right? Never late. Always on time. It's just sometimes our calendar's a little bit ahead. You know, a bit like some of the people who aren't here this morning. but we'll not hold that against them. But sometimes, we expect the instant answer, and sometimes we have an idea of how that answer should come as well. And we just need to relax, because he's relaxed. He is completely relaxed. He's not panicking. He's not running around. He's not thinking, what shall I do? How shall I sort this? How shall I solve this? Needs to be done by Tuesday, because we think it needs to be done by Tuesday. And actually, he knows he can do it on Wednesday afternoon and it'll be perfect. All right? So his ways are not our ways.
But that's not an excuse for you.
Okay.
Kate's laughing, Kevin. So, sorry. We've done Lazarus, we've done Mary and Martha, so we're saving the best till last. And we're going to look at Jesus and what he did, what happened that day. And actually, what struck me the most reading through this passage was just how many times Jesus was also very connected with his emotions. You know, it was saying, you know, he was deeply moved. And it says that probably about 4 times. And he says, you know, he loved Lazarus. And, you know, there's that famous line, the shortest sentence in the Bible, Jesus wept. You know, he was also very in touch with his emotions and what was going on. And he was moved with compassion. And actually, that compassion drove him to do something. And he performed that miracle. And it was because of how much he loved all of them that he wanted to do something. And actually, just like we heard this morning from that dream from Jackie, he loves, deeply loves each and every one of us. And his heart is just so full of compassion towards us all. And actually, he doesn't just sit there going, oh, I love them so much, they're mega. Actually, he does something as well. He shows that love. And actually, one of the ways he shows us his love is when he does stuff and he does miracles. And actually, I just feel so completely overwhelmed because actually we're living in a time where we're seeing miracles like pretty much every other day. And actually, like we were saying about these Bible stories, we get a bit over familiar with them. Actually, I don't want to get over familiar with what God's doing because it's amazing and it builds faith. And we could tell you countless stories, which is incredible. And actually, that's Jesus. That's his compassion for people. And it's just absolutely incredible. That he wants to do that. And actually, it's such a privilege, isn't it? We sit with a lot of people in a lot of situations, and actually just to be able to bring a bit of Jesus to them is just incredible because we love them and he loves them, and it's just so good.
Okay, can you just put the last slide up? Yeah, okay then. Not that one. Sorry, the second.
That's just our disclaimer for the pictures. We're being really good.
Just go back slightly, you know, the contrast between Lazarus and what Lazarus offers and what Jesus offers. And actually, we have been raised to a new life, and if you haven't been, you can be, and you can do that this morning. I'll come back to that in a minute. We are not made for a normal life. And I just want to take you back to what Neil was saying last week. How many of you heard what Neil said last week when he preached? All right. The rest of you, just prick your ears up and listen for a moment. I want you to make it your business to get that and listen to that this week. It is the most important thing that's been said in this building this year. All right? You need to listen to it. If you don't know how to access it off the website, find somebody that does. It's not even long. Half an hour? Yeah? And engaging as well, as always. But, I mean, it really was. It's foundational for us. And you need to listen to that. And Neil's theme was Dare to be Different. And that's really what this is about. This whole thing, what Jesus provides, enables us to be completely different. And the question is, do we actually just want to settle for something that looks like a Lazarus resurrection? Which gives us a few more years and a little bit of happiness? Or do we want to settle for something that just radically changes everything? Not just for us, but for those around us. For the lady with the neck that can't move. For the woman who's struggling in pain, but then finds she can eat a fairly healthy meal, I have to say, after we prayed for her, okay? And all of that stuff. So what we're going to do now, I'm not going to ask the band to come back up because I want them to be able to respond to this as well if they want. So we're just going to close, and I'd like you to stand, please. And I'm just going to say again, by way of emphasis, if you didn't put your hand up to say you'd heard Neil's message, then you need to. All right, you really do. Don't just go out here and think, oh, well, because it is important, all right? It's the most important thing that we've heard this year, all right? Just to whet your appetite. So you just close your eyes. And I'm deliberately not asking the band out because I want you all to have the opportunity to respond to this in some way. Because I think that sometimes we kind of say, I'll have a Lazarus-type experience. I'll experience a few more years, a bit of joy, a bit of happiness, good times with my friends. And actually, Jesus says, I want to give you far more than that. I want to give you something that lasts forever. And sometimes some of us have got that thing that lasts forever, but we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to make it work in our lives. And so we just stick with the Lazarus experience. But actually, he's given us so much more. He's given you the ability to say no to sin, to live the way Jesus lived, to do the things Jesus did, He's given you the power to have an abundant new life. And somehow I want to call you to respond to that opportunity. This is not, I mean, for some people, there'll be people here who maybe just don't know Jesus. And so you're kind of on the outside looking in at some of this. And I would just say to you, come and talk to us afterwards. I'm not going to persuade you to do anything. I'm not going to push you to do anything. But I'll say, at least come and have a chat. And we can just share a little bit more of how this works. But it's so easy to step into. And for the rest of us who have stepped into this, I just want to consider this morning, are you different? When the angels are looking from heaven at what's going on in this church, is it exciting for them? Or is it just a little bit boring? When he looks at what we do when we're out among our friends and living our weekly lives, are they gripped as they watch? What's going to happen next? What are they going to do? Watch this. Come here. You're going to miss it. Or is it more, oh, here we go. Same old stuff. All right, so there's a challenge. It's for each one of us. It's for me as well. And I know some of us sometimes find this difficult, but I think it's worth doing. If there's a bit of you that says, actually, I want more, I might not even know what it looks like, but I want to be different. What I would like you to do is just come to the front. I'm not asking you to do anything else. I'm asking you just to take some steps that just say to God, yeah, I'm up for this, all right? And I don't care if only three people came. That wouldn't bother me, so long as three people came who really just want to let him in and be different. Some of you are facing stuff that's difficult in life, that you can't master, that you're struggling with. That doesn't disbar you, it doesn't disqualify you. Because actually Jesus says you're qualified. You are qualified. All right? So don't let that hold you back. I'm not asking people to come out because they're wonderful, or because they got it together, or because they can do everything. I'm asking you just to say to Jesus, yeah, I want more of what you've died to give me. I don't want to miss it, and I want to be different. And that different looks different for each one of us. I'm not asking you to look like me or Rachel or Neil or anything. I'm asking you to look like the person that Jesus made you to be. All right? It's as simple as that. Okay? And there is something where some of you have probably been disappointed, that thing about why didn't he come, why did he wait 4 days, why has it been a long time, why have things not gone perfectly, and actually there's a point where we just need to trust him because of who he is, and we know who he is because of the cross and the resurrection. That's how we know we can trust him, all right? So we just need to put that disappointment to one side. And if that's an issue, you probably need to come tonight and listen to Rachel as well. All right? But don't let the fact that I've been disappointed in the past. And I've got questions never answered. But we just need to walk beyond that. Otherwise, we'll never go anywhere. Okay? So.
Jesus, I want to thank you that you're here. I want to thank you that the same Jesus who called Lazarus out of the tomb calls us all by name. Thank you that you know us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you want us and you want to hold us close. And Jesus, we want to be your people. We want to be different. We want to not live boring, everyday, normal lives. We want to be your people. And God, would you just come? and put a passion for you in each of our hearts that burns so brightly for you. Because that's what really makes the difference. Thank you that it's all about you and not about us. And God, we want to be your church. We want to rise up and carry you well. We want to carry you well into our homes and our workplaces and our lives and every area that you've got for us to touch. Oh God, would you do something mega here? In Jesus' name, amen.